This is Audible.
The Hangman, a short western, written by J.C. Holsey, narrated by Steve Blizzen. A small town somewhere in Texas, the year 1869 to 1872. Britt McGee, 29 years old, black hair, black eyes, and wears a black frock coat. 6'4". Weighs an even 200 pounds. The women consider him to be good-looking, even handsome, until they find out who he is and what he does for a living. Britt McGee is a professional hangman. I'm hated by ignorant people who don't realize that this is a job just like chopping wood or baking bread. Someone has to do it. I decided if I'm the one to do it, I'm going to be the best. I remember the first hanging I saw. That is, if you could call it a hanging. A group of law-abiding citizens came to our house when I was 10 years old. They accused Pa of stealing the neighbor's horse, since they found it in our barn. That was enough evidence for them. They grabbed him, pushing my Ma and me aside, dragged him outside. They tied his hands behind his back, hoisted him on the very horse he was accused of stealing, and put a rope around his neck. When they asked him if he had any last words, he said, "You're hanging an innocent man. Ralph Crompton loaned me that horse. Ask him, he'll tell you." Ralph's laid up in the doctor's office with his skull bashed in. Doc don't know whether he'll pull through or not. One of the good men of the town slapped the horse on the rump, and Pa was left hanging in the air, kicking and kicking and kicking. I can still see him kicking in my dreams. I was only a young boy, but I vowed right then that I would become a hangman, so a person, whether they be guilty or innocent, would not have to suffer like my Pa. Mr. Crompton did recover, but too late to save my Pa. He told them that he did loan Pa that horse, just like Pa said. All the good folks said they were sorry, but that didn't comfort me and Ma. It wasn't easy growing up without Pa, but we survived. Ma died right before my 21st birthday. That's when I sold the farm and went to Philadelphia to learn from one of the best hangmen in the country, William Calcraft. He agreed with what I intended to do. Make the condemned leave this world with a little dignity and peace of mind that only the best of everything was being done for them. However, this time is different. I ain't never hung a woman before. In all my years of doing this, I ain't never heard of a woman getting hung. It just ain't done. Nobody hangs a woman. Don't matter what she's done. You don't do it. I can't understand how the folks of this one-horse town can ask me to do it. Yeah, I realize it's my job. This is what I decided to do as my profession. But a woman? Folks call me because I've built a reputation of being a caring, sympathetic hangman. I do the best I can of calming the condemned so everything goes off without any problems. I've never had any mishaps like a few of the others in the business, like the one over in Placerville County where the rope snapped the person's head off. I choose the finest hemp rope, measure out the correct number of circles in the noose. I use coconut oil to make the noose slide effortlessly and have a clean execution. No mistakes. I could say no to this job, but then again, I can't. If I don't do it, they might get someone else that'll botch the job and cause the woman to suffer when she doesn't have to. No, I'm the one to do it. Make it as merciful as possible. I arrive in town, go directly to the jail. I walk in, introduce myself to the sheriff, who leads me through a door to the cells. Why, she's only a child. She can't be more than 16 or 17 years old. What could have caused this innocent-looking young girl to kill a man? Well, that's not my concern. I'm here to see she leaves this world, her head held high with dignity. I do wonder, though, how she came to be here in this dreadful place. I don't stay because there is work to do. Rinaldo Rodriguez has been my assistant for almost as long as I've been doing this. You might ask why I need an assistant. We always arrive in town 5 days prior to the appointed time. Our wagon, loaded with lumber, nails, and tools to construct the scaffold. If the town has one already built, we demolish it and build our own. There is a certain ritual we have to follow. Each board has to be measured and precisely sawn to certain specifications. Each nail has to be perfectly placed and nailed with an exact number of pounding. If we miss and bend one or not have the exact count, we change out that nail for a new one. This is very important, for the scaffold is the last thing the prisoner will see this side of eternity. They must know that it was made specifically for them. When it is built accordingly, we go to council with said prisoner. I explain the procedure down to the finest detail. I want them to know that I will be with them until the end. I assure them that it will be a quick and merciful death. The only pain they will feel is the moment the trap door opens. Then, nothing. I assure them, many times, that there is no need to worry. I will be by their side the entire time. They should think on that thought. They are not alone. On the day of the execution, I walk slowly to the jail. I nod to the officer on duty and walk calmly back to the cell holding the prisoner. It is very important that I present a calm and peaceful appearance. It helps assure them that, even though they are going to meet their Maker, I am with them. I assure them again that everything is going to be all right. After measuring their neck, I explain again about the rope, how it is made of the finest hemp money can buy. I explain how I oil and construct the noose from the measurements of their neck to certain specifications. I tell them there will probably be a lot of people there, but not to look at them. Pick a place off in the distance and concentrate on that. Close your hearing to all noises except the sound of my voice. I will explain each step as it occurs. Again, I explain there is no cause for worry. I am with you. However, this time is different. It has been from the moment I accepted this assignment. The difference is, I have never hanged a woman. Do I approach her the same way I would a man? Do I assure her in the same tone I would use with the man? Have the rules changed simply because she's a woman? Perhaps I'm looking at it in the wrong way. After all, she has been tried and found guilty of murder in the first degree, and sentenced to hang by the neck until dead, just like any other criminal. Yet, there is something holding me back. Is it because she is the same age my daughter would have been had she lived? Is it because she is the splitting image of my deceased wife? I can't let personal feelings enter into this contract I have with the court. I'm expected to carry out its orders on schedule, without any delays. I stand in front of her. She tilts her head and looks into my eyes. I can see she's afraid. She reaches with her small hands and touches my large, calloused ones. I squeeze gently, reassuring her that I am with her. Tears start rolling down her cheeks. She releases one of my hands and brushes it away, then returns her hand to mine. She pulls gently, asking by her move if it's all right to hug me. I pull, and she stumbles into my arms. Our hearts begin thumping in unison. I'm sure she can hear mine as I hear and feel hers. This has never happened before. I can't recall ever hugging the condemned. Am I going to be able to carry out the court's order? If I don't, I'll be finished in this business. Maybe I should think about quitting. After all, I have been at it quite a long time. What would I do? This is the only trade I know. Of course, I know how to saw boards and nail them together. Could I be a carpenter? What would become of Ronaldo? Perhaps he would go with me in whatever I decided to do. But I know he wouldn't agree to what's going on in my mind right now. I'm going to take this young lady, walk out of this jail, and take off to some other county. That is, if she will come with me. Maybe I should ask her. Should I talk to Ronaldo first? Why am I so confused? I'm usually a very sure thinker. I hardly ever question my decisions. I should have known better than to accept this assignment. If I do break her out of jail, I'll be as guilty as her, and perhaps face the gallows myself one day. That would sure make a lot of those ignorant people happy. The hangman being hanged. I hold her as if she will disappear at any moment. I release one hand and tilt her head back. Her eyes are still closed. I lean down and touch my lips to hers, ever so gently. Now I know I've never done that before. I feel her response as our lips stay pressed together. I know, without asking, that she will follow me wherever I decide to go. She'll follow me to the gallows, or she will follow me if I decide to rescue her from this place. I release her hands and her lips and motion for her to sit on her bunk. I turn and walk into the sheriff's office. He's sitting, reading a newspaper with his feet propped up on the desk. He glances up at me and nods, and then looks back at the paper. I walk closer and grab his gun from his holster. He slams his feet to the floor, demanding me to tell him the meaning of this. I don't speak. I motion for him to step back into one of the empty cells. He wants to fuss and complain, but he takes another look at the pistol pointed at his belly and closes his mouth. He walks into the cell. I lock the door. I still haven't spoken. I motion for the girl to follow me. She looks at the sheriff, then at me. She grins and grabs my hand that I extend to her. The sheriff is telling us we don't have a chance of getting out of this town. Someone will catch us. I reach through the bars and tap him alongside the head with his gun. He folds like an accordion and slumps to the floor. We walk into the front room. I stick the gun into my waistband and take a rifle from the gun rack, check it for ammo, and lead her through the side door into the alley. We rush through the alley behind the buildings until we reach First Street, where the livery stable is located. I tell her to wait between the buildings until I make sure it's all clear. I step around the corner and see no one. I motion for her to follow me across the street and into the stable. I don't see the proprietor. He's probably at the other end of town awaiting the hanging. I saddle two horses, slip the rifle in the boot, and climb aboard. She explains to me that she doesn't know how to ride a horse. I grab her hand and help her up behind me. I turn to the horse and left through the front entrance. The hanging was supposed to take place on the other side of town, so I headed the horse down the street and out of town undetected. We rode for about 3 hours, pushing the horse fairly hard. He was working up a pretty good lather, so I figured we should stop for him to catch his breath. I was also feeling a little weary, maybe from the rod, but more than likely from the tension of breaking the law. I had been a law-abiding citizen my entire life until now. I wondered to myself if this is how outlaws felt when they broke the law, all nervous and excited feeling. I swung her down from the horse, and then I got down. My legs felt weak. I looked at her, and she seemed extremely calm. I asked her how she felt, and she said okay. There wasn't a canteen on the horse. I didn't know this country, and we needed water. I asked her if she knew where there might be some water. She explained that there was a farm about 5 miles to the east. We waited a few more minutes and then started for the farm. I spotted the smoke floating above the building before we reached it. I guided the horse right up to the front door. Just as we reached it, a man stepped out with a rifle in his hand. I explained that we only wanted to water our horse, and perhaps a little for ourselves. He looked at me, then he looked at her, and winked. She climbed down from behind me and ran into the man's arms. They kissed, then she turned to look at me and shrugged her shoulders. I heard the metallic click as he chambered a slug into the rifle. Then it felt as though a mule kicked me in the chest. I was thrown over the horse's back onto the ground. I lay there, trying to understand what had happened. I saw her face as she bent over me. It was a lovely face. The last thing I saw were her sweet lips, mouthing the words, "Thank you." Other books by J.C. Halsey. Angel Falls, Texas. Velvet Sky, Arizona. Angry Orchard, Colorado. Clear Stone, Wyoming. Itching Tree, Idaho. Windy Butte, New Mexico. Devil's Dance, Dakota Territory. Redemption Road. Red Rose. The Concho Kid. Ugly Mugly. Gutshot. The Old Man. This has been The Hangman, a short western. Written by J.C. Halsey. Narrated by Steve Blizzen. Copyright March 18, 2015 by J.C. Halsey. Production copyright 2016 by Outlaws Publishing, LLC.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.